Thank you so much for being here. And since this is the last Wednesday night prayer before Christmas, we're going to take a little look at the birth of Jesus and what we can learn from Mary's experience. So we're going to talk tonight about giving birth to holy things. Welcome to the maternity ward. And I wonder, did Mary experience labor like we mothers did? Did she have birth pains? I think she did, because Jesus came as any normal human being would be born. He was her first child, and he came through the normal channel. And I bet there was some stretching going on. Like any baby, he needed swaddling clothes, food, a place to sleep. Mary didn't have the amenities that we have today. We've come a long way. But she did have Joseph there to hold her hand. When I was in labor, it was a long, painful night. My husband went home and went to bed. He could have stayed in the labor room with me. It was allowed. Yes, I have forgiven him. It was 52 years ago. And he did have the house clean when I came home with the baby. So that counts. But back to the Bible. Mary's birthing experience was unique in all time. Just look at the angel's announcement in Luke chapter 1. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In the King James Version it reads this way, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." We know the coming of the Savior was a one-time supernatural event that changed the world. But I believe God is looking for people who will be channels of blessing and who will birth holy things that bring honor to his name and change the spiritual landscape. What are holy things? Holy things are God ideas. Heaven-inspired plans that will glorify God and advance his kingdom. Holy means sanctified, set apart for God's purpose and glory. Holy things come as ideas, inspirations, desires, prayers, needs, dreams, visions, strategies to advance the kingdom of God. They are divine assignments, and we test them by the word of God. We were designed to give birth to holy things. Ephesians 3:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." But when do good works become holy things? When they're birthed by the Holy Spirit, of course. Anyone can do good works in the name of their religion or their organization. But when the work is initiated by the Holy Spirit, when it's God-breathed, then it becomes a holy thing. Holy things change lives. They exalt Christ. They create wonder. How can this be? And they have a future. They keep expanding. For Mary, that holy thing was the Messiah. Born of thee was Mary's part in the miracle. She was a vessel, a channel, giving the Son of God entrance into the human experience. And he shall be called the Son of God. That points to the enormity of the message. What is it that the Holy Spirit is waiting to birth in and through us? I believe God is still looking for willing vessels to work through, to bring the gifts of heaven to earth. good works inspired by the Holy Spirit and carried out for the glory of God can be holy things that fulfill his purpose in and through us. And the birth process itself shows us the way. There are three stages: intimacy, waiting, and delivery. Holy things begin through intimacy with God. The Christmas story didn't start on Christmas Day. It started 9 months earlier. And like any birth, it began with intimacy. But it wasn't human physical intimacy. This child was a supernatural product of a spiritual intimacy between Mary and her God. The Spirit became flesh and came to live among us. It could only happen to someone who was close to God, someone God had confidence in. A personal visit from an angel gives us a clue that Mary was close to God. How close was she? Mary was close enough to hear from God. This was a personal message. It was a communication from heaven. How do we achieve that kind of closeness? The book of James gives us the answer. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Repent then. James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This intimacy takes us into the realm of prayer. That's where holy things are planted in our spirit. That's where holy things are born. David Wilkerson, the founder of Teen Challenge, wondered what would happen if he prayed at night instead of watching TV. So he sold his TV and began praying from midnight to 2 o'clock. It was during this time that God gave him a burden for the teen gangs in New York City. He followed that burden and went to the city and allowed God to birth the Teen Challenge ministry through him. That was 60 years ago. Today, Teen Challenge is a worldwide drug recovery program, reaching millions of young and older people trapped in addiction. It is fueled by the Holy Spirit. It was a holy thing, born in the heart of a man who was listening. How close was Mary? She was close enough to question, how shall this be? You know, God doesn't slap us down when we ask honest questions. I am so glad Mary asked this question because it gives us the key to miracles. The Holy Spirit will come upon Mary with creative action. The life-giving breath of God is going to breathe on her. The same Holy Spirit who hovered over creation, and the same creative work is going to happen in her. The same Holy Spirit who came upon judges, warriors, and prophets in the Old Testament and gave them supernatural power to do great things, it's going to birth the Messiah. This is the same Holy Spirit who later came at Pentecost. The same Holy Spirit who is promised to us. Think about it. And we read in Acts 2, verses 38, 39, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When the Holy Spirit comes, there's an explosion of miracles, signs, wonders, spiritual gifts. All things are possible. So the message of Christmas is actually the message of Pentecost. Don't you like that? And then the power of God Most High will cast his shadow over Mary to protect and empower her. And the Greek word for overshadowed means to throw a shadow upon, to envelop in a shadow, and to overshadow. Now, someone has to be near or really huge to throw a shadow like that. Sounds like our God. And Psalm 91, verse 1, there's a promise here. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Where? Under the shadow of the Almighty. And the key word here is secret place. This is that place of intimacy we've been talking about. It's private. It's between you and God. It's not for show or display. And Jesus stressed that element of secrecy in Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. This does not negate corporate prayer. This is your personal, private, intimate meeting with God. So the shadow of the Almighty is a place of safety and protection. It's also a dwelling place, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, living there. It's your dwelling place. It's not a one-time experience. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we become residents in the presence of God. Notice, the Holy Trinity is coming in alignment to produce this miracle. The Holy Spirit comes upon Mary, enabling her. The power of God overshadows or wraps around her, protecting her. And the Son submits to the Father's will and becomes God in human flesh. And Mary was the human instrument to complete the miracle. Is there a truth here? When we come into alignment with the Father's will, the Spirit's power, and the life of Jesus in us, miracles can happen. It wasn't a dumb question, Mary. I'm glad you asked that question. How close was Mary? She was close enough to trust. She said, "Be it unto me according to your word, whatever it cost." When Mary understood what God was up to, her response was, "I'm in. Let it come." Just what you said. What God wants to do a new thing in us, it can be scary. And Mary could have decided this was too big, too much to ask, more than she could handle. She could have argued with God like Moses did at the burning bush. But instead, she accepted God's idea and dared to trust him. She dared to believe that God actually knew what he was doing. There's no way that Mary could have understood everything that was involved in this commitment. The process started quietly with an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And like any birth, it started small, but the outcome would be world-shattering. God may ask us to do small things, but he always has a bigger agenda behind it. Obedience in the little things can put larger things in motion. Holy things grow in the waiting time. This prophecy is tremendous. It's spelling out who he would be, what he will do. It was the grandest gender reveal of all times. It's a boy. His name is Jesus. He shall be great. Every mother wants to hear that. But there's a 9-month wait before it begins. And during those 9 months, there are different stages of growth. Changes are taking place. Tiny features begin to form, a heartbeat, expansion, but not yet, not till the fullness of time when it's fully developed. And before ultrasound, nobody could see what was happening. Mary felt the fluttering, and we know Elizabeth certainly did with John the Baptist. So God is at work in dark, hidden places. We can't see what he's doing till it's finished. What happens after God speaks his desire into our hearts? We wait for the fulfillment. And while we're waiting, the baby grows. The holy thing God wants to do is expanding in us. It's taking shape. It's taking form. And we are changed when the Holy Spirit is at work in us. Just like that mother's body changes. He's stretching us. He's preparing us to nurture and grow the gift that he's about to give. Paul was concerned that Christ would be formed in the Galatian believers, and he described it as travail, and that's the word for the birthing process. He said, "Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives." During the waiting time, we carry the burden of prayer. And intercessors understand this. We feel the heaviness in our spirit as we carry the new thing that God is wanting to birth. We know when God is calling us to prayer, and the burden may be for something he wants to birth in us or something he wants to birth in somebody else. Sometimes we don't know who or what this burden is for. But when it comes, just pray. Pray it through and know that you've done your part. We also protect the burden while we're waiting. Not everyone will understand what God is doing in you. They may question, discourage, and raise doubts. Mary certainly experienced that. So be cautious who you confide in. Protect the secret that God has given you. seek counsel from leadership and mature Christians. Even Mary went to Elizabeth for confirmation. And during this time, we use the waiting time to prepare. This is the time when moms collect all the stuff the baby needs. It's time to learn about how to care for a newborn, to paint the nursery, start the college fund. So what is God calling you to do? Learn everything that you can. I remember a story about a young man who was called to the mission field. He knew it would be a Latin American country. But it was 15 years before that dream came to reality. Where was his first stop? Language school. What? He had 15 years to learn the language and to learn Spanish. So I would suggest when God is calling you to something specific, learn all you can about it and how you can implement it. That's what the waiting time is for. And then we come to the delivery. Holy things begin in heaven, and they're manifested on earth. The labor begins. The Bible calls it travail, birth pains. And it's time for that holy thing that you've been sheltering to come to light. Birthing isn't easy. I felt like my back was breaking. There are waves of pain. This last stage is the hardest, the final push. And that's what they keep telling you. Push, push, push. It's time to do the hard work of bringing the vision into reality. I remember when the pictures were first put out in the foyer about the new buildings. And we looked at the pictures and we oohed and aahed. But it was a long time before the ground was actually broken. But now the laborers are out there doing all the work and putting it up. But a picture is different from a hammer and saw. Somebody had to do the hard work and bring that vision into reality. So the Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, travailing in the Spirit. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, we read about this spiritual travail. And the Message version captures this thought so vividly. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is working into something good. Then comes the final push. We have to push past fear, push past the doubters and discouragers, push past the pain. And I love this. Pray until something happens. Push. And don't let the enemy abort what God is trying to do. Once the baby is born, that's when the real work begins. The feeding, the diaper changes, the nurturing, the teaching. But the same Spirit that gave the baby can sustain the baby. He doesn't abandon the gift when it moves from dream to reality. Jane Ashley was a member of Cedar Road Assembly when we were pastors there, and God gave her the idea for a live outdoor nativity. She brought the idea to Pastor Ben, and it was approved. But that was just the beginning. A script had to be written and recorded, songs had to be practiced and recorded, costumes had to be made, parts had to be rehearsed, equipment had to be set up, animals had to be reserved and paid for, a stable had to be built, lighting had to be provided, advertising had to be sent out, cookies and cocoa had to be provided, and the goal was excellent. So the preparation took time and expense. But when the night for the first performance came, the neighbors along Cedar Road showed up. And they were touched by the message. For some, it was their Christmas. And for 15 years, the outdoor live nativity touched hundreds of people. We brought the Christian message to Cedar Road, and it was a holy thing. The stable where Jesus was born wasn't exactly a sterile maternity ward. Neither is the environment in which we live. All around us, we see the birthing of evil motivations. Ideas that are being spawned by demonic entities. We are bringing holy things into a dirty world. But God's whole purpose is to use us to change, to change the world and to purge some corner of the globe, to bring new hope, to be a light in the darkness. And it's time for God-inspired ideas to come to fulfillment. Each of us, men and women, filled with the Holy Spirit, is capable of giving birth to holy things. What does God want us to do as individuals, as a church? Follow Mary's example. There are three things we want you to take away tonight. Number one, get close to God. Listen, agree, trust, seek the intimacy of prayer. And two, wait as he grows his vision and purpose in us. And three, be willing to suffer and do the hard work to bring it into reality. Here at Harvest, the gift of prophecy operates in a way that encourages the birthing of holy things. It's the calling forth of hidden gifts, a positive reinforcement of what God is already speaking and wants to do. And some of these prophecies have been a jump start on dormant gifts in my life. I was in a district women's breakfast when Pastor Lori shared what she had to do to bring her book, Promises for Prodigals, to birth. There was no screen time. Digging into the scripture and praying your heart out on paper for her own need. I think we have a picture of that book somewhere. Her holy thing is touching more people and stirring up more prayer than she'll ever know. You can order it on Amazon.com. She didn't ask me to say that. Call it a dream, a vision, an inner urging or knowing, a prodding of the Spirit, a nudge, however God speaks to you. Just know that if you agree with God, something holy is going to be born. Something the world has never seen before. Something to bless and help others and change lives. So the angel speaks to all of us when he says, "Fear not." It's natural to question, how? Trust the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to be God's vessel. There are holy things waiting to be born, godly ideas, divine solutions. And God will hold your hand in the labor room as you bring his gift to the world. If you're watching online and you've never experienced the nearness of God, simply ask him to come and remove the barriers of sin and failure. Accept his forgiveness and put your trust in him. God sent his son to the world because he loved us and he wanted eternal closeness to us. So I pray you accept his gift this Christmas. Thank you for joining us.